It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. You might say this is our shop till you drop edition. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, and boy, this time of year, everybody's posting their sales. Well, how do we make our way through this jungle of bargains that may not be quite the bargains they look like, or maybe some really good deals out there? Well, you take a guide with you, a man named Rick Broida. He's going to be helping us to make our way through this jungle of bargains, bargains, bargains on the Internet Advisor. This is the dead tree time of year. I don't mean that the leaves have fallen, etc. I mean, this is the time of year when trees are sacrificed for all of those inserts in the paper telling us about the great sales that are going on. 40-pound Sunday and Saturday editions of your paper. Enough to break your back and, of course, head for the recycle. Gary Baker with us here in studio. Gary, good to have you here.
With all the movement toward online and online couponing and all that, can you believe that we're still getting that many inserts? And of course, they don't have as many newspapers per week as they used to. Don't get them every day. So at least the couple that I get two newspapers.
That's true. That's true.
And both of them have, in fact, both of them have the same ads.
You're
the same
right.
Inserts,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is interesting. But it's amazing. Rick, do you still get a newspaper?
I don't get a newspaper, but enough of that stuff comes in the mail. I thought you were talking about the wrapping paper, Foster. That's that's when we sacrifice the trees
for
too.
That's
well,
right,
but that's
it,
a good reason.
By the way, that's Rick Broida, who is our sales specialist, who's with us in studio. Well, Rick is a noted columnist all over the internet on technology, and also a man who has been dubbed as the cheapskate. Right,
the cheapskate.
He's our tech guy.
Well, he is our tech guy too. He's our gadget guy as well.
Many geeky titles.
Yeah. Right here in the middle, keeping us all sane and anchored to the ground is Ed Riddell, our tech expert. How
Hello.
You doing, Eddie?
Good, Foster. Thank you.
The warm filling in our tech sandwich.
So, Ed,
I'm the nougat to your
right. You've been called many things on this show, Ed, but I have never heard that.
That is really good.
All right.
You were going to say something yet. Rick, I'm sorry. You were...
I just said it.
Oh, all right. That's it. That was the great line. Well, listen, as we said, this is a period of time, really, starting with the Black Friday, of course, which was the Friday after Thanksgiving, but it's also been stretched into over the weekends and into Cyber Monday.
Well, but
and,
Cyber Monday used to be the big deal for online because people didn't have really good access at home. They had to wait till they got to work so they could use their employer's internet connectivity to do their online shopping.
Yeah, that's true.
And today, they don't even wait to get home. They just do it from their phone.
Yeah, from their phone, exactly.
There you go. Yeah, people are shopping from their phones even more now.
Yeah.
But that hasn't diminished the crowds in the stores very much, though, has it?
No, I'm sure you'll see the obligatory footage of people getting trampled in a Walmart or something.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting is with beacons or iBeacons now, you can it's starting to happen, finally, where you're walking down an aisle in a department store, and your phone goes off, and it says, if you look to your right, there's a big sale here on this item.
Now, is that happening mainly with Apple products, with the iOS products, the iBeacon?
I think the beacons are...
I think so. I haven't actually experienced that firsthand. But
I think that's primarily the iOS devices.
Well,
they're
starting to come in. It's basically based on the store.
On the store, right.
And, I can't imagine they would not. Certainly, I would like to see them putting up into an iOS and iPhone. But
I know,
but there's many more Androids out there than there are iPhones.
Absolutely,
now, so.
I know that when you walk into the Apple Store, for instance, the one at Somerset here in the Detroit area,
That way it's working there. You've got iBeacons going all over the store, and they will.
Well, it's just starting to come in some of the other stores.
But, yeah, I think this is expanding.
Walmart's starting to use them now, and you know it's going to take a while to proliferate to all of their stores, right? It's not. They can't just do something online, and they really have to.
And this is kind of like remember electronic when you had your kids in the store, when you're going to the store. Dad, can I have this? Mom, can I have that kind of thing? Now it's the iBeacons. They're saying, "Oh, come over here and have this."
Well, it's a blue light special that all remember. I think
iBlue light.
It's iBlue light.
iBlue.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a blue light special online, right? I mean, it's without the flashing blue light.
Yeah. By the way, Mike Brennan will be with us in just a minute. We'll be talking about his Michigan technology news, MI Tech news, and that's coming up in just a moment. But before we get there, Rick, I understand you have a new business that you're doing.
I do, and this is I'm actually excited to share this with you guys finally because it's been kind of in the works for a couple of months now.
And you've kept it under wraps this long, haven't like given us sneak previews, let us look under the covers.
Well, Gary, we are Facebook friends, you know. You could have.
I could have maybe figured that out by going to the Facebook. Sorry. About
right.
That.
So the business is called Trapped in a Room with a Zombie. And decidedly.
So if that was the title, I may have just deleted without looking. Yes. Okay. I get
and
it.
There's nothing techie about it, but it's something that it's a show, kind of an interactive show that I saw when I was in Chicago and decided this must come to Detroit. And the short version is that you and up to 12 other people are friends, coworkers, might be a date night thing, might be family members.
Do you have to be a good friend to do this?
Well, you know, the better is better. You're locked in a room for an hour, and you have to solve clues and figure out clues and puzzles in order to escape. And there's a zombie chained to the wall, and every 5 minutes, the zombie gets an extra foot of chain. So by the time the hour runs out, if you haven't figured out all the clues, if you haven't escaped the room, you get eaten by the zombie.
Okay, Rick, we got to hear more about that in just a moment. But before we do that, we got to get to the serious news, and that's with Mr. Mike Brennan here. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm not a zombie, though, so I don't know.
I don't know. Have you written an article about this? I think you're overdue to write an article about Rick Zombie trapped in a room
absolutely.
With a zombie.
Well, hey, let's start with your headlines. The first one from MI Tech News, by the way, folks, that you can get weekly sent to your place. We'll get some headlines from there. Michigan Cyber Initiative 2015 was unveiled at the Cyber Summit where Gary and Richard Steenen, our guest last week, were at.
Yeah, it was a big shoe.
And Mike was there,
they
too.
They headed at the Cobo Center, which is the first. I think that's going to be its new home. Hasn't officially been announced, but I did talk to some of the officials, and they were real happy with it, and the location was central. But the long and the short of it is the governor, who's around for four more years, come up with a four-year plan for how we can enhance our cybersecurity on the website and around the state databases, all that jazz, and education, too. He wants to educate a lot more folks.
That's excellent. Hey, Mike, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second, and we're going to finish and get to some more of these headlines in just a moment here. Mike Brennan, the editor of MI Tech News, will be back with more of his headlines in just a moment. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, kind of a special edition here. I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Rick Bright in studio. We're going to be talking about, a lot of the sales that are going on and coping with them. And just a tip of the hat, we recognize that some of you are hearing this after Black Friday, but there's so much more that's going to be happening in terms of sales. We've got some great tips coming up from Rick in just a moment. But we want to get back to Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. By the way, MI Tech News is an absolutely free service you can get each week simply by going to internetadvisor.net and scroll down the page. You'll see a button that says subscribe now. It costs you absolutely nothing, but you will then get every week, you'll get something delivered to you. All the headlines, there are tons of them, including audio resources as well, that are part of MI Tech News. We just had a little talk about some of the things that came out of the Cyber Summit, and Mike is still with us to talk about a few more things that have been happening here in the city of Detroit. Give you an example of the kind of thing on MI Tech News. And Mike, I noticed that one of your next headlines was about a brand new business opening up. It's a handcrafting business here in the city of Detroit.
Yeah, this story we got from Michipreneur.com, one of our partners. I might add, we have several partners. Soon, IT and the D will be joining us. And, of course, we have the podcast from this show, so the empire builds. But we won't attack, though. So, but Douglas and Company is the newest kid on the block. A couple of kids sort of following in the footsteps of Shinola. We're making custom leather stuff like keychains, wallets, clutches.
And Shinola... Shinello is
Shinello
is a local company that's building watches and bikes and a lot of other great handcrafted items. So they're going to be doing handcrafted leather items?
Yeah, wallets, clutches, keychains. You know, I'm sure they'll grow into other things as it gets bigger. But it's handmade and specialized for each individual customer.
That's neat. Cool, so the brand of Detroit as a brand is really growing, which is kind of neat as well. Hey, listen, one of the other things I saw here, and kind of a special interest to our listeners in Southwest Michigan, is that the Small Business Administration and Google is teaming up with Lunatech 3D, the people we talked with before, about a free seminar.
Yeah, all these folks, Small Business Association of Michigan's involved. They're going to have a seminar there where Google will teach you how to use their online marketing tools. And, you know, for small companies that don't have webmasters and really smart guys like Gary Baker, this is something they can do themselves, and it's very effective, and Google will hold your hand and show you how to do it.
I love it. It's called Let's Put Grand Rapids on the Map.
And we talked to the president of Lunatech, Doug Willett, a few weeks ago, and his father was chairman of the Small Business Association of Michigan a couple terms before I did that.
Oh, so. That's really neat. Yeah. Great, so great for small business.
Known that family for a while.
Yeah, and this is a real great service, as you said, Mike, for small businesses. Let's grow. One last thing. Boy, this is a pretty big deal, I guess, in some ways. Red Eye is a company that is partnering with NASA on some 3D printing.
Yeah, it's a Minneapolis-based company, but I'm really trying to expand my footprint to include great news from around the Great Lakes. And so Red Eye is building these antenna arrays that will go on the satellite that will go out into orbit. And this is the first time any 3D printing has been used for this type of thing.
Wow, that's really cool. They're 3D printing, a 30-antenna array?
Yep, 30-antenna arrays. They're going to run them through the 3D process, which to me is still magic. I haven't quite figured it out myself.
It's astounding.
But this is, I guess it's just CAD/CAM gone to another level.
Yeah.
And so it's the first time that's ever happened.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. These are the headlines, folks. Just kind of a sampling of the headlines you can get at MI Tech News, delivered right to your electronic front door every Friday, and for absolutely nothing. And the way you get hold of these headlines and many more delivered is by going to InternetAdvisor.net, our homepage. Scroll down the page, and you'll see the Subscribe Now button. Click on that, and it'll take you off to the site where you can very easily subscribe and start receiving all these headlines and many more, along with a great audio resources as well. As you said, IT and the D, which is another great program that talks about internet and about all things digital. Here's based in Detroit. Here we have the guys on the air with us.
That's right, and I think Mike and I are going to see each other on Monday, are we?
Going to be on the show. We're going to tear them up on Monday, Gary.
We have
to meet at the bar first.
That's right.
You can't do the show unless you've had a few drinks.
It looks like it.
And if you listen to the show, and please do, you'll understand why.
Gary's going to get drunk, and actually, I know his wife is listening. I won't let him drink that much.
So. Thanks, Mike. You're helping me out a lot here.
All right, Mr. Mike Brennan. That's good. So Gary and Mike will be on IT of the D this coming week on Monday, and we'll be sure we link up to that as well, and you folks can enjoy that as program. It's a unique kind of a view of internet and about all things digital in the Detroit area. Let's get back to our show, our main focus today, with Mr. Rick Broida. Rick, good having you
always a pleasure.
And I know that you've been looking at some neat kind of gadgets that have been available. I have to first of all say thank you for your tip on a new router.
Yes, you are living in the fast lane now.
I tell you, I am. And Eddie, we've talked to people a lot about this, that sometimes the internet problems you've been having, and I was having some problems with intermittent connections. We talked, I think, a week or so ago.
Right.
I had an old, used Cisco router, which I thought was working fine.
And it was for a long time.
It was for a long time, except I kept on hearing my wife's computer is in the other room of our two-room apartment. I can't get it. Cries coming from the other room, and I figured I better do something about this. And maybe the simplest fix is putting a good router in. And it looks like, by the way, that is helping. I haven't heard quite as many cries from the other room.
Well, you know, I think you're keeping ahead of the curve on this, because what's happening is that when you live in an area where there's a large populace, and you're getting
Building with 240 people in the building.
Yeah. Exactly. And they, most of them have Wi-Fi in there. So you need a wireless technology that can filter out all that noise and just zero in on your communication devices.
That's excellent. And by the way, this particular one, the TP-Link, that you suggested has two bands, so you can either use a 2.5 gigahertz or the 5 gigahertz. Mm-hmm. Or you can use them simultaneously, which is really cool.
Right, right.
We had a tech at the house, and he was working on the one band, and I was on the other.
And you can also change channels. So
well, that's yes.
But I mean bands, yes. But you can change channels for each band. So,
exactly.
You know, a lot of times people take and they'll see some noise on one and go to a different channel and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now,
Rick, that particular thing, TP-Link, I had not heard of that. Have you heard of that yet, Ed?
No, I have not.
No, I had not heard the brand either.
Yeah, I guess a lesser-known brand than, say, like a D-Link or something like that, or a Cisco. But, you know, a really good way to judge for any brand you haven't heard is to check user reviews. So I think you got this from Newegg.
Yeah. Well, I know. I got it off of Amazon because the price was equal.
Right.
Although Newegg, for 5 days after I bought it, dropped to $10.
Of course.
But, you know. it only cost $50, which is not, I mean, first of all, I would have thought that was too little to pay for a router. I wasn't getting a good router. But actually, your colleagues at CNET gave us a rave review.
So it's really, you don't need TP. It's just a TP link. But, you know, like, so the other TP that I'm, never mind.
Yeah, I'm
you know, like a TP roll.
You know, what a lot of people, I think, don't figure out until after it's happened is that routers can actually, I hate to even use this expression, but they can wear out. You know, and I've seen this firsthand myself in my house. I've been through a couple now where after a few years, you'd think a piece of electronics either works or it doesn't work.
Yeah, there's no moving parts.
You know, there's nothing in between. But I've seen it happen where, the connection starts to get intermittent, it starts to slow down for reasons that just can't really be pinpointed. And sure enough, swapping in a new router fixes it, fixes the issue.
And a good analogy would be if you had like an old transistor radio or something and the output was audio, if the dang thing starts to crackle and snap and you just can't tune it in, you know it's time to replace it. You have none of those audio or visual cues, with a wireless router.
Except, for instance, slow throughput or it's broke, you know, he breaks your connection or whatever.
Or your wife cussing from the other room.
Yes, that was my biggest indication.
and that's not always going to be the fix. I mean, if you're having internet problems, very likely it could just as easily be a Windows issue. It could be a malware issue. You never know. But I'm just saying as far as if your router is more than 2, 3, 4 years old, it's definitely worth spending $30-$40, maybe even $50 to try that. See if it makes a difference.
And 50 is not a bad price for it. Now, by the way, Rick Breuer is in studio with us and we're going to be spending most of this first hour talking about ways to make our way through all this nonsense of sales and everything that's out there. Maybe some good rules of thumb when you're looking for things online, etc. But we'll be back to continue that conversation with Rick Breuer, Ed Riddell, and Gary Baker and myself, Foster Brown, here on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's kind of a special edition of the Internet Advisor. If you're listening to our podcast and for our folks on the affiliates, thank you so much for coming into our front room here and joining us as well. Rick Breuer, who is our gadget guy and also the cheapskate, is with us as well. And Mr. Eddie Riddell, our tech expert, and Gary Baker with me, Foster Brown, the co-host here. Rick, we were talking about making our way through kind of this forest of sales, whether it's Black Friday. Some of the folks will listen to this podcast, before Black Friday, maybe gives people some kind of general principles when you're going into this kind of sale time of year. Some things to keep in mind when you go into it.
Right. So I think the first thing I would say is don't lose your head. You know, it's easy to get really excited by you see a circular, you see an online deal for something that just sounds like too good to be true. And, and like, I'm going to go set up a tent outside the store at 3 a.m. and camp out for it. And, granted, there are some good deals to be found, before Black Friday, on Black Friday, after Black Friday. But, what I've been telling people literally for a couple of years now, and as the cheapskate, I see this firsthand, is that really every day is Black Friday. I mean, there are great deals to be had all year round. So whether you're hearing this before Black Friday, after Black Friday, and you're looking for gift items, don't fret if you missed out on something awesome or you don't feel like you want to go stand in line for something awesome. It will be there, or something similar will be there. In fact, I was recently rounding up kind of five insanely great gadget deals, as I call them, that feel like Black Friday, even though they're available pretty much every day of the year.
And this is an article you wrote,
This is something I wrote earlier this week, or maybe it was last week. And
make sure we'll post that so people have that, okay?
Sure, and we can run down a couple of those examples if you
like. Let's do that.
Yeah, okay. So first up, let's talk tablets. I mean, everybody wants a tablet, right? And Amazon, earlier this year, introduced a few new Kindle Fire models.
That's right.
And my favorite of these by far is the Kindle Fire 6, which is a new size for them. It's a 6-inch tablet, so just a hair smaller than the most of the 7-inch tablets that you see out there. But it's a full-color tablet. It's full, runs the full Amazon ecosystem and supports Amazon Prime and all that sort of good stuff. And it's available in I think 6 different colors, so it's not just boring black. And it's really kind of cute. I mean, I actually kind of like that 6-inch size. It fits.
It's
in
like
a pocket.
The size of what the
iPhone 6 Plus. Are you thinking?
Well, iPhone 6 Plus, right. but a little bit, yeah, exactly. Or the Mac Mini.
iPad Mini. It's a little smaller than that because the Mini is actually a little closer to 8 inches. This is a 6-inch. Okay. So this is almost like a little a phablet size, you know, like. But it's not a phone. It's just a tablet. But the best part is that it's priced at $99.
Oh,
I mean, it's a $99 Kindle Fire full-featured tablet.
Oh, that's nice.
Kind of cute. And, like, that's come on. There's no better tablet deal out there, especially for someone who doesn't have a tablet. You're looking for something to give to the kids that they can beat up on. Killer deal.
Hey, just a
That's only $800 less than the expensive, the most expensive iPad. iPhone.
Yeah.
Right.
You can buy 9 of them.
Just a footnote on this. The value of a Prime membership on Amazon. You think it's worth the $99?
I absolutely do. Depending on how you're going to use it. I buy a ton of stuff from Amazon. So the 2-day shipping is literally transformed the way that I shop and the way that I now like to shop. And I love it.
And that's what I used. I am a Prime member.
Right.
And I agree with you. I just wanted to get your opinion. I got my router was delivered to me in 2 days.
Yeah, I think about the only person that doesn't benefit from having a Prime account would be, say, a hermit in a cave, doesn't have connection to the internet, doesn't even know what it is.
And it's not just the shipping now. I mean, you get get the streaming. Movies and TV and music now.
The video for those of you who stream.
It's hard to beat the deal.
You know, one thing I was told, I was talking to a gentleman at work, and he said that everything that you get is free from the streaming video. Like, they'll just give you teasers on, say,
on
3
episodes,
and then if you want to watch any of the others, it's $1.99.
But if you're a Prime member, they do let you in. That's exactly it. Yeah, you do get more of those. You're right, though. You're absolutely right. They'll tease you on a series. You get to like it because you saw the first one, and then it's, $2 or whatever else it is per episode after that. Eventually, those things do come free, but you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That's part of it. Okay, what are some of the other things that are year-round kind of things?
Okay, so let's talk about laptops a little bit. And, Gary, I know this is going to be right up in your alley because, Chromebooks have become very popular, especially in this past year. And to the point where I'm thinking, like, well, gosh, you know, a Chromebook actually makes a lot of sense for a lot of users. But HP and a couple of other companies have kind of fired back with very, very inexpensive laptops.
Mm-hmm.
And the one in particular I want to point out is the HP Stream 11, which is a $199 Windows 8.1 laptop.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
And, these are kind of the heir apparent to netbooks. But, you know, netbooks were terrible. I mean, they were heavy and clunky, and they weren't really that much cheaper. They were slow, just bleh. But the Stream 11 is just a nice-looking piece of hardware. It has a nice, substantial feel to it. It runs full Windows 8.1, not Windows RT. And for somebody who just, again, it's like a Chromebook in that it's relying kind of heavily on the cloud for your storage. But for somebody who just wants the basics, word processing and web and Facebook and just basic computing, I mean, $199.
Folks, and by the way, your colleague at CNET, Dan Ackerman, gave it a great review.
Right.
Folks, this is the real deal. It's called the HP Stream 11.
Yeah.
And it is 11 inches, so it's small.
Yeah.
But and it's incredible because it's a full laptop. It's not a touchscreen.
Right. And it has an Intel processor in it.
Absolutely. It's kicking. It's got great throughput. They were saying it moves very nicely. You can watch things like stream movies and things like on it very nicely. Yeah. Excellent deal.
You know, for $199, I'll just, I'm going to duct tape it to the wall.
Impulse buy.
Yeah.
No, for a lot of you folks out there who are listening, this, will you call in and ask, what should I get? If your needs are really simple in terms of the kind of things you do on the internet and you're used to the Windows atmosphere, this is it. It is great.
Yeah, okay. And another good example of something that is just a fabulous deal, regardless of what day of the week it is or what time of the year it is.
Exactly.
You know, you may see it a few bucks less on sale over the holidays, but for, you know, $199 is just too hard to beat.
Yep.
So the next thing I'll talk about is obviously my favorite product category of the whole year, and that is drones.
You know, I knew it was coming.
Love the quadcopters. I know, yeah. Gary, you're new and you've got one.
It has surfaced again in our house and was sitting on the desk this morning. So, yes.
Did it take flight, though, is the question?
It had been, I'm sure, last night or this morning, because it's my son just loves it, and he's gotten very good at it.
That's can why you hover, said it reappeared.
He can hover. It somehow mysteriously maybe went to his room. I'm not sure where it went, but I hadn't seen it in a couple weeks, and all of a sudden this morning it was there again.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so they're a lot of fun. Ed, did you
no, I never took the plunge, you know, because I just did not like the video quality on there. It was okay. Ooh. And I'm thinking and the camera doesn't pan, it's sort of fixed, and I was really hoping to take it up north hunting when I went to go visit my brothers, and we could probably take it into the woods, and not only could I show the cabin, but I could stream up and say, Mike, look at all those deer grazing in the cornfield.
Oh, get a heat-seeking camera on it. But a thermal camera.
But this is like $69. Oh, I mean, you know, when you buy the $500 version, you can get that. So
they do have HD now cameras. Yes. I saw one, just matter of fact, Parrot, the Parrot drone.
Oh, right.
Which is, it's going to be substantial, but it's a quadcopter that they've redesigned, so it works really well outside as well as inside. Now, by the way, speaking of heat-seeking cameras, well, we can get to that later on. He's got one in. Now, the drones. Now, what are we going to say about the
drones?
Right,
so let's just finish that up real quick. So, obviously, there's been a ton of movement in this category this year, and there's just an explosion of products. And, you know, to Gary, I think I recommended this Hubson.
And it was a wonderful recommendation. Thank you.
And
my son
loves it. The only, I think, downside to the Hubson is that it's fairly small, and so it's very easy to lose track of if you fly it, especially if you get some altitude.
And we did that, too, just like you had told us. You did. We did the same thing. We found it, but it took a while.
Yeah. So if you want something
that's it could go way out of sight. Just keep going up.
Yeah. So if you want something that's a little bigger, there's a company called SYMA, S-Y-M-A, that was well-known for a while. They were making these little RC helicopters, and now they've gotten into the quadcopter game. And they make a model called the X-5C that I've seen on Amazon for right about $60. And this is a, I would say, probably three times the size of those little Hubsons. I mean, it's a substantially sized quadcopter.
Your hands are about 2 feet.
Yeah, I'll just hold my hands up so you can all see.
Could you hold those a little higher so the people on the radio can see?
Sorry. I'm new to radio. And I've actually had a chance to test this out, and it's very agile. It's quick. It does have a camera built in. It's not, you know, not great quality, but it's decent.
For $60,
it comes with its own remote, and the reviews are quite solid. And, you know, so if you're looking for something a little bigger that's about the same price, less likely to get lost. I mean, it even has flashing lights underneath, so you can kind of track a little better as you fly it up into the sky. Love this thing, and just love the whole category.
And only for $60.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, does that also offer camera?
It does. Yes. It does. In fact, you might want to look this one up, Ed. It's, again, the camera is, I think it's an HD camera, but it's probably a low HD, like 720p, maybe even not that. But
well, that's more than my television at home.
There you go.
Okay.
You know, it was so funny because Justin would take and fly the quadcopter in the house, and you'd all of a sudden you'd hear a little buzz, and it would come around the corner into your room, and it would look right at you about
they're noisy buggers, you know, though, especially inside.
And that's another thing.
Funny. He'd just fly it all around the house.
All right, when we come back, I want you to finish your list. You've got a heat-seeking camera with you I want to talk about, and then some basic tips for people as to make their way through the sales that are going on out there, some things to keep them safe online as well. Mr. Rick Breuner with us here, our gadget guy and the cheapskate, talking about dealing with the sales during this great time. We might call this our super shopper edition. Thank you so much for being with us, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Rick Breuner, who is our gadget guy and the internet commentator. By the way, congratulations on some incredible things going on in your life. I see that you were in Time Magazine online.
Time Online, yes. Time Online. Doing a little bit of writing for them, so that's fun.
And many other places, Savings.com and CNET, and you're all over the place.
A little bit for Wired, yep.
And Wired as well.
Zombie apocalypse going on.
Oh, we got to get back and finish the conversation about that. That's brand new business. We'll do that in just a minute. But one of the things you had started talking about were five key things that you found are just good bargains, period.
Right.
And whether it's Black Friday, after Black Friday, or Cyber Monday, or any time of year.
Right. So so the last two on the list, we got to have a phone, of course. And my favorite phone of the year, just in terms of a bang for the buck, is the Motorola Moto G, which I think I talked about last time I was on. But short version is it's an Android-powered phone that with a 5-inch screen. And it's available unlocked. So you buy it, you own it. You don't have to lock yourself into a 2-year contract. And you basically take it to any carrier you want. And it's priced at $179.
Oh, my word.
So it's just like really a great deal for somebody's first smartphone, for a teenager smartphone.
Great start.
And, you know, you can shop around and find yourself the cheap plan that you want.
I can get those kids off my plan.
I was saying
for Christmas.
I'm pointing at Ed. Yeah, your two kids in college. That'd be great.
And they've been dying. I'm a bad dad because I never got him a smartphone. Heck, I even just turned on texting just a couple years ago, and they're both already in college.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a bad dad.
That'd be dead. Now, I mean, no texting. That's cruel.
Yeah, it was. It was. But, you know, this might be the solution. And so instead of paying that money to Verizon, I can get it to anyone, T-Mobile.
Well, and the thing is, they can take their phones and out in Western Michigan, they can take it to whoever they want out there.
Yeah, yeah. And you get those $40 a month data, unlimited data and voice plans.
Yeah, or, you know, or even less.
Or even less.
179. Right. Excellent. Yeah, Moto G.
And that's a really nice part when you're not paying for the phone. And that's the kind of the neat thing about what Apple and what both AT&T and Verizon, I know AT&T is doing it, Verizon I'm sure will follow, which is they are saying, look, we'll sell you the phone. It's actually cheaper. It's no interest. We'll sell you the phone over 24 months, and then it goes back to whatever data plan that you get. And it turns out to be cheaper than if you were to pay a very small amount for the phone and sign up for the 2-year contract.
I was just going to be snarky, and it took some FCC regulations to force that.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, right. But they didn't do this.
Yes. But it is coming around.
It's actually...
The Moto G, where do you buy that from? Google directly?
You can actually buy that right online from... you go to Motorola.com and sell it to you direct. Okay. I think you can probably also get it in stores. But just a great value. And this is actually their second-gen Moto G. They had one out last year that was the same price, smaller screen, slower processor, lower resolution camera. This model, the second gen model, upgrades all of that stuff, so it's a much more
5-inch screen, not bad.
Oh, beautiful.
Very good.
Beautiful. Okay. So great phone.
Now, one other thing, it's on your wrist, I understand.
Yeah, so you know, we can't finish this list without a smartwatch, of course.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I've kind of gone back and forth on the Pebble, which is really the smartwatch that sort of started it all.
Right.
And I'll just simply say that I really although I occasionally have tech glitches with it that annoy me, as far as the breed of smartwatches, it's the best I've found by far. And they dropped the price on the Pebble earlier this year, so you can now get a Pebble for $99.
Ooh.
You got to decide where to spend your $99, either on a Pebble smartwatch or that Kindle Fire 6 tablet, but one or the other. And it's
good
just
deal.
You know, for that amount of money, it's just a great buy. Now I'm wearing the Pebble Steel, which is more of a kind of higher end, less plasticky looking version. I don't love the plasticky version, but again, for $99 to be able to get notifications on your wrist, control Pandora from your wrist, all these sort of cool things that you can do. Really nice.
All right, so if you're going to get the smartwatches, you don't want to wait for the Apple Watch.
And you can't afford it.
You can't afford it, yeah. Now, these are all very affordable things, folks. We will list these things on the homepage so you can see them as well. But Rick, you have one thing you brought into studio. Now, we can't, we will take some pictures of it as we put it up, but talk about this. This is fascinating.
Yeah, so this is called the Seek Thermal, and it's just a little camera that plugs in to the bottom of your phone. They have an iPhone version, and they have a micro SD version that's for Android phones. And it's a thermal imaging camera. And what that is, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. If you've ever seen a spy movie, you know, and they're looking through like walls at thermal images of people moving around.
Yes, the heat signatures.
It's that same kind of thing. And basically, it lets you take thermal pictures with your phone, pictures and video. And this is really great for, not just because it's so incredibly cool, but because you can, like, look at the seals around your windows and see if there's heat escaping.
Oh,
you can see if there's... Ed?
No, I was the first thing I thought of. I says,
really?
Yeah, first thing I thought of is, have you already gone around your house to look at where your leakage is
What
going?
A great thing that would be, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, I'm...
What does that run, by the way?
So this is $199, which is expensive for a little accessory like this, you might think. But compared to what you would normally pay for a standalone thermal imaging camera, I mean, these things can run like $1,000 and more. This is comparatively cheap.
So this ties into the camera already on the phone? How does it work?
No, this is actually its own
camera. Oh, its own application is
right.
in there.
Yeah, so it's very... you know, it's a neat little accessory, and, you know, certainly for somebody, the handyman who has everything, this would be a really cool gift item.
All right. Okay, folks. Now, guys, one last thing. Let's just put our heads together. When you're, can we offer to our audience here, the people who are listening to this, start with you, Rick, some tips on keeping themselves safe when they're doing online shopping or this time of year when everybody's kind of sending emails out and flyers and things like that? How do you keep yourself safe and making sure that you're really getting the deals you want and not setting yourself up to be scammed or something like that?
Right. Well, sure. I mean, this time of year is really, you know, the same as the rest of the year in terms of you want to keep yourself, you know, be diligent about what you're getting. You mentioned email, of course. Mm-hmm. Phishing is a huge problem, and I think you know, for seniors especially who get an email that might come look like it's coming from their credit card company with
and
a big
this time of year particularly.
Yeah, with an alert that says your account has been compromised, or yeah. You know, here's a record of your $567 charge
right.
that you have no memory of ever making.
Right.
Things like that is that you don't want to fall for any of this come-ons. Something that sounds too good to be true,
right.
Something that is designed to alarm you. And what happens is you'll see this, and then you'll click a link in that email. Yeah. It'll open up a page, and boom, you've just exposed your computer to malware, spyware. Yeah. They're going to say, oh, give us your information. You know, it's just, it's, you've really got to avoid that
and
stuff.
And Eddie, one of those things is coming through. We've had calls on this and email on this. Are people supposedly from Microsoft? We're
yes.
saying, we've looked at your computer, we found that it's all jammed up with everything else. And we've had people who have sincerely said, oh my goodness, how did you know that, and start paying money?
Yes, you know, $179, $200, and, you know, they first get them on the phone, and they may only charge them $39, but then in order to get to root out that fictitious software on the computer, it's another $100 and some dollars.
So
it happened to my father-in-law.
Bottom line, do not respond. When those things come through, delete.
Yes.
When call comes
doubt,
through,
don't click.
Hang up. If it said, I'm from Microsoft, hang up at that point. You'll find stuff out there from the IRS and from a whole bunch of other places. So phishing, that's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G,
right.
is a really important. Gary, any thoughts from you?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of times, and we're seeing it more and more, that your account is being compromised at some retailer. And now most of the time it's credit cards, and it's they're taking that off of the server. Has nothing to do with what you might have bought online. It's what you bought in their store.
You're talking about like Target and Home Depot and
these
hackers
right.
that have basically made off with their databases.
So what we have started to see is that because people can't remember all of the different passwords that they have, they use the same password for everything, and that's really bad, because if somebody gets your password, now all they have to do is take and go to a whole lot of other places where you might be shopping, and they got your password.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out a password scheme, take the kinds of things that you're going to do with, and make sure you use the same password, right? Or make sure you don't use the same password,
right?
And make sure you never use the same password as your banking account, your
okay.
online banking.
Guys, I'm going to post something called the 12 Scams of Christmas, and Ed, one of the things they say is the risk of USB freebies. USBs handing out
yes.
that have stuff on them. Hey, I want to say, Rick, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
lots
you.
More we could talk about. Folks, I'm going to be posting links to the article that Rick put out there. You'll find many more articles by Mr. Rick Broida. Thanks so much for being in here as our gadget guy in the Cheapskate. Hang on, folks, because in the next hour, we're going to be answering questions you've sent us by email and hopefully solving some of your problems. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. Hi, this is Foster Brown, co-host for the program, welcoming you to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. That's the hour we tackle the problems that you've sent us. And how do you get those questions to us? Well, very simply, you go to our internetadvisor.net website, go to the Contact Us button, click on that, and then just pour your heart out in an email, which people have been doing this week when we're not on live on our flagship station, WJR. We got some great emails to answer, and hopefully solve those problems for them and for you as we continue with our second hour. Thank you for joining us here, Foster Brown.
Gary Baker with me in studio. Gary, good to have you here.
Hey, it's great to be here, of course.
Mr. Eddie Riddell, our tech expert as well. Good to have you, too.
My favorite thing to do on a Saturday.
Especially a cold Saturday.
That's right. Great time indoors here. Hey, folks, this second hour of the program is where we take on the questions that you've sent us during the week. Weeks that we are not on live on our flagship station, WJR, in Detroit because of sports events that are going on at the same time as our program would normally be on.
Those big green guys, right?
And push us right out.
Green Michigan State Spartan uniforms. They're certainly doing real well this year.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I'm going to let them push me out because I'm not wearing padding today.
Well, we've got the guys without the padding and the basketball uniforms that will be doing the same thing to us. The key thing is you can keep on asking questions, and you do that by going to internetadvisor.net. Go to the Contact Us button and send us your questions. We have a whole bunch of them that you've been sending us this week. And by the way, you're listening to us on our affiliates? Don't worry. That's a great thing to do for whether you're in, let's say, Lansing or you're in Muskegon.
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, or anywhere else in the state that you happen to hear us. Please go to internetadvisor.net and go to the Contact Us button and put your question in there. We've got some great people like Ed, who's been solving people's computer programs problems for years and years and years, and Gary, and maybe even I'll put a word in, and Cal Carson, for those of you who have Max, he's there to help us as well. Hey, but before we do that, this last week was a really busy one for you, Gary. Sunday night, you were involved in a huge cyber summit that was going on
at
Cobo Hall.
North American International Cyber Summit. It has happened over the last couple of years as the Michigan Cyber Summit. And we really had, it's turned into a North American and international. In fact, we had...
Kind of like the auto show, right?
We had General Vannay Skyped in from Latvia, where our Michigan National Guard is training the Latvian Army in cyber espionage and anti-cyber espionage.
Wow.
And because there's been that interaction between the two, and he happened to be there, couldn't make the summit, so he Skyped in. That was pretty cool.
Brigadier General Mike Stone was with us from Michigan National Guard the other week talking about that.
That's right. And I met General Cardone there, and who is in charge of the U.S. Military Cyber Command.
Wow.
But you know what? I will tell you that Michigan, because of our governor, Governor Rick Snyder, Michigan is in the forefront of, you know, thinking about and actually doing something mm-hmm. about cyber warfare, really. Yeah. And it really is. It's about how the bad guys, you know, if we're not protecting ourselves, can come in and attack us in innumerable
ways. Did you
ways,
see
right?
this statement by Leon Panetta?
I didn't see it.
It was on. He just made a statement, I think, a day or so ago, essentially saying that the U.S. is here. A couple days ago. He was out saying that U.S. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta delivered a strong warnings about the risks of cyber attacks on the country. His conviction that a possible cyber Pearl Harbor may be looming has not tempered since his leaving his post last year. In other words, he said essentially. All those control systems we talk about, the SCADA mm-hmm. systems,
that's
control
right.
our power, you know, our lights, our sewage systems, water, everything.
Yeah, the power grid is the most important, right?
And they're ripe for attack.
Well, unfortunately, yep. you know, we protect them as well as we can, but you're not going to protect. There's no way you can keep the bad guys out of every place.
And what they're saying is that will be the next volley and the next war will be fired. On that level.
And General, retired General Mike Hayden, who had come on, he was the director of the CIA during the Stuxnet virus episode, and he had been on with us a couple years ago. His partner, Mike Chertoff, was at the summit this last week, and he was the retired Secretary of Homeland Security.
Mm.
These guys are now...
What a gathering of eagles.
Oh, it was wonderful, because these guys really know. You know, you hear a lot of pundits on TV and on the radio, like us.
Yes, yep. Talking heads.
And we talk, but we don't know, and the people that know don't really do the talking.
Right? That's right.
But they did on Monday, and it was very interesting we're doing.
I say, what one thing did you come away with that really an impression that stuck with you from the whole thing? Because there were so many things happening.
There's a lot more cyber espionage attempts than I ever thought was going on.
That are happening right now.
Just the Michigan alone. Yeah. We're repelling, state governments repelling, 500,000, a million tries a day.
A day, easily.
A day.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I found fascinating, I was listening to a podcast last weekend while I was up north at the hunting cabin with my brothers. And it was talking about how if you walk the streets in Russia, you can buy magazines that will provide you the line code on how to do the hacking. I mean, these magazines are not sold in the United States.
Mm-mm.
And they're basically training the individuals that this is what you do. And they can get jobs. It's the black market over there. And it's just not Russia. I'm not picking on
them. No.
It's many places, as long as they're hacking outside the country, it's fine. But if they start hacking inside the country, that's when the Russian law enforcement will get on them, because it's okay if you go outside the country.
Oh, I see.
Don't do it internal. You don't go after that bread maker across the street or on the other side of the country.
Their
laws are not set up that way.
Yeah.
But so we are doing a lot, and we have to. And we have to continue. And it's going to be hard to stay in front of the bad guys. And so it's not only how to keep them out, but what to do once they get in. Because
Absolutely.
It's going to happen. We just don't know where.
But
and when.
We've had this international summit here of cyber awareness. And that, to me, is a great comfort. We'll be back in just a second. We'll start talking about some of the questions that you've sent us this week. And see if we can get you some answers as well on the Internet Advisor. Thank you, folks, for allowing us to be in your lives through our podcast. And for those who are listening to us through our affiliate system, thank you very much for being part of this as well. Second hour of our program, we tackle problems that you have sent us. And when we're live on WJR, our flagship station in Detroit, we get to take your calls directly. But at times like this, when we're pre-recorded, because we are preempted on that station, we open up to our emails and start talking about the people who have sent us questions during the week. So you say, how can I get my question in there? Very easily. Simply go to internetadvisor.net, click on the Contact Us button, pour your heart out, leave us the information there with your email address and phone number. We get back to you just as soon as we can and solve those problems. And guys, here's a problem that came in just today, as a matter of fact, from Al. And here's his question. I said, I bought an Apple TV this week, and it looks good on my HD TV, but trying to watch TV shows is impossible because of all the starts and stops from buffering. If you've ever had this happen, it's just crazy. He says, how do I overcome this? What do you think? You know what that's like? If you ever watch Netflix, and I have a good connection, it's that, spinning dial that's on the screen. It's almost like the old beach ball of death on a Mac.
Right. As soon as 7 o'clock hits, you could forget about streaming. It depends where you are in the neighborhood.
Well, let's talk about that, because for a lot of people, I think streaming is kind of magic. Well, I just tap into the stream and it all kind of comes in until suddenly it doesn't. And you start getting this thing called buffering. What is buffering, Ed?
Well, I mean, there's six different things you can look at, and I'll look at five of them.
Okay.
I'm making this up as I go.
I hear you.
No. The first thing I think of is, and if I really want to drag this in there, is are they having I was going to say net neutrality.
No, right? We won't go there quite yet.
We're not going to go there yet? Okay.
Not yet.
Because that could definitely impact this, and this is what people would see.
Yes.
As an example for Netflix, or if you could,
And maybe just to say this, there was one concept that says that not all packets of information are created equal.
Right.
That some should be given more priority over others, and which would be not net neutrality. Or some people say all packets should be equal, all information should be channeled at the same time. Let's save that conversation for a little bit later.
Let's assume it's something with the in the house somehow.
Yeah.
So either their internet service provider, maybe they're using DSL. Right?
No, that's
they're not
a,
using their cable.
Right.
And at which point that is definitely a slower speed.
So if you will, it's a garden hose coming in instead of a fire hose DSL.
Well,
and you also have other people. Isn't a DSL line you have more impact from other users?
No.
The opposite. You don't.
A
dedicated amount of bandwidth. Unfortunately, with Comcast and cable technology, you do have a big pipe coming into your neighborhood. But depending on how many people use it, it's shared.
Okay, so it's the opposite.
It's shared from the neighborhood collection point back to the head end.
Okay.
So if you have all of your neighbors are streaming at the same time,
So at a certain time of day, yeah.
You're going to use more bandwidth,
exactly.
Right? And it's going to have problems coming down the pipe to your neighborhood.
So
right.
Roughly right. From when people get home from work, like from, like, say, about 6 o'clock in the evening until about midnight, everybody is sucking on that pipe.
And so weekends are even worse.
Yeah, so there's a couple things you can do.
If
you want, you can download instead of stream. So you download at different times, set it up to download at night, during the day when people are at work.
Now, does Apple TV allow you to do that?
And then just play it, right?
See, Apple TV is strictly streaming.
Yeah,
only.
So you bought the wrong technology.
Yeah, on TiVo, you could do that, yeah.
So the technology I have, I can do that, and that's what I'd like to do.
Do you have TiVo?
So I don't. What we do is I just take and run it onto my computer and store it on my hard drive.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So,
the point is you will not be able to watch.
I use Roku to do that.
Okay. But the point is you won't be able to watch TV like you did in the old days where it's same time.
Right. Well, you can,
but you get the buffering issues.
Potentially, you'll get buffering issues depending on how much bandwidth is being used
for other
things.
Okay, so issue one is the bandwidth that's coming into your house.
Right.
Right.
The other thing is, are you wired or wireless? How do you have your Apple device connected? Is it hardwired directly to your internet service provider's cable modem or DSL modem, or are you wireless and possibly getting interference from your neighbors, as we discussed earlier in the show? So I would always use hardwire because, I mean, I have a wireless device that I've used for streaming, and it doesn't get the best signal sometimes, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I've had to move my the wireless router to a different location in the basement so that I get a stronger signal and I can stream to this device.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have the ability to hardwire.
Okay, so wired or wireless can be an issue. So there's the issue of the signal strength that's coming into the house. Are you getting the best stream coming in? And the other thing then would be, are you wired or wireless?
Any interference in the house.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I've known people that, depending on the type of paint they've used in the house, and that can affect it.
Really?
Some people the type of windows.
The older lead paint, for instance.
Yeah, the old lead paint will infect it if you're in a much older
home. And you paint over it,
and the building materials.
Right.
Yep, the building materials in your walls. Some people have the metal studs.
Oh, yes.
Yep, some people have the wood studs.
Yes.
Yep, right? And I've known people that had e-glass put in their house because their windows face west, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they put the e-glass in there. Yep. And that just takes those Wi-Fi signals and bounces them around like a BB in a cage.
Yep.
No kidding. Yep. That's fascinating.
Nobody ever thought of that when you were, 15 years ago,
so that's
nobody
for the
had
wireless.
Who cared, right?
Yeah, I think one of the other things, too, is kind of a mindset we have that I'm going to be watching TV the same way I watched it when I used it to go over and turn the set on and I was getting it over the air.
Well, you do the exact, we're in the exact same place that television was in the 1945 to 50. Right?
Right, rabbit ears. I mean, you got
You had all sorts of interference, and sometimes you didn't get it, and you were, you felt lucky to get a really good, clear signal.
Well, that's a good point.
Right?
A lot of people were investing in those tall towers they put in their house, or maybe put a roof antenna on to get that better signal.
To get better signal. You could do maybe something like that. But eventually, right, we're going to have enough cable bandwidth that people will just be able to stream over their iPhone, right?
But it's becoming, we're kind of in the in-between time, I think, right now.
Right.
Between the time when people have gotten an appetite for streaming.
Yes.
For instance, if they got their smartphones.
So you mean there's a demand, and then supply will have to catch up.
Exactly.
It was very hard to go build supply without the demand. So now the demand's there, so now we've got to fill in with the supply.
Yep.
And we'll talk in the next segment about net neutrality. Net neutrality could very easily, if we make bad decisions and pass bad laws, could get in the way of all that investment.
Oh,
right.
And that's what we got to be
careful. So many issues involved in that, Ed.
And the other thing, possibly like you did, Foster, look at upgrading your wireless modem.
Excellent.
If you have a 2 or even a 5-year-old wireless infrastructure in your house.
Yep.
You might want to look at upgrading it at this point, especially during this this holiday break. You're going to see some great prices.
Oh,
now, Foster, what was the unit that you got that actually got a superb rating?
Rick Broida had suggested the TP-Link. That's Thomas Peter, TP-Link.
TP stood for something else.
No, wait, okay. On Halloween, yes. But other than that, it's a TP-Link. I had not heard of the brand, but boy, CNET gives some rip-roaring reviews. Matter of fact, they had a whole article that said the best, cheapest modems out there, And I looked at the reviews and everything else, and these things get incredible reviews. I bought one of the lesser ones, depending on how big a house you have and how far you have to put your signal. You may want a little bit bigger, stronger. But these things are running. I bought mine for $50, and suddenly, at Newegg, they were on sale for $40. So this time of year is a great time. Ed, you're right. And the key thing, Eric, for instance, is that I have two different channels now. I can use a 2.5 gigahertz, or I can use a 5 gigahertz. And then, Gary, you were pointing out that even within those channels...
They're channels.
Pardon me. Even within those bandwidths, there are channels that you can go to as well.
Because you might get your home phone, wireless home phone, puts out a signal. There are other things in your home that puts out signals. And if they happen to be on the same channel, just switch to a different channel. You get a better connectivity.
I just realized.
You have to go into the administrative settings and figure that out.
I have a new wireless phone that's sitting right next to my wireless modem. Well, I better check that out.
Check it out.
And the fifth thing that I was going to mention is go to speedtest.net.
Oh, good idea.
Which is to find out what actual connection, what's your speed going to the internet right now?
Excellent. Speedtest.net.
Okay, don't go to the .com. It's bad now.
Speedtest.net. We'll come back. We'll reiterate that in just a moment and get to our next question. Once again, thanks for being with us here. And by the way, thanks to the crew behind the glass. Annie Nichols, our lady of the phone, who's back there. Thank you so much, Annie, for helping us out. Ed Mikestad, thank you for your engineering duties there. Appreciate you guys for making this program possible for us. Again, if you have a question for us, the great thing to do for us is simply go to internetadvisor.net and hit the Contact Us button, put your email address in there and your name, and then describe your problem, and we're on the way to solving that. Ed, just before the break, and I want to make sure people get this, one of the ways that you can find out what kind of quality input you're getting, your signal, is to go to something called speedtest.net.
Correct.
Just quickly tell them what that does.
Well, it basically will test the speed between your computer and someplace, say, in central Chicago, as an example. Right. It provides a graphical interface so that you can select geographically different regions in the United States and between your computer and those regions. Now, when I click on it, it shows me taking off from Detroit. But when I'm wireless sometimes and I'm using my MiFi device or even on my cell phone, sometimes it shows me, you know, kicking out from Ann Arbor or something like that and going to Chicago. And it basically gives you a throughput and it'll give you a rating, you know, how many megabytes per, you know.
And it's a way, by the way, of checking up on your provider to make sure they're giving you the good deal.
Yes.
Another way, by the way, for folks who live in the country, there was another site you were going to suggest to that people would go to in order to be able to find out what will be the best provider for them. I know some of you listen to us in rural areas, even around major metropolitan areas, and you got a difficulty with signal. There's a place you can go that the government has that will show you where the better signals are.
Yeah, we had a listener, Peter sent us a thing. He's, I'm in a rural area, and, you know, what site can I go to? And I used to go to, and I believe, Gary, it was like DSL Reports was one of the websites that we went to. And they do provide some information, but it can be difficult to navigate through.
Yeah,
but you can get through it, and some of the information was outdated, like that internet provider isn't there anymore. Well, I found another one. It's called broadbandmap.gov, and it apparently it's a .gov
broadband
website. Yep, map. I got to watch the P's, right?
Yep,
a broadband map.
.gov.
And it provides a nice graphical interface and a way for you to locate. You could type in your zip code, your home address, maybe just your city and state, and it'll provide you, try these internet service providers for your area. And, you know, I did local and it told me that Comcast and Charter were available for me. Well, only Charter is available for me. Mm-hmm. But when I went up north, I found, you know, there's a couple wireless internet providers up there that, like you've described as well, that provide the rooftop antenna areas. Mm-hmm. That might be an option for a lot of rural areas.
So it shows you that the options you have, especially you folks who live in rural areas or places where you're on a margin, you can check out. There may be resources available that you weren't even aware of. That's it. So it's a great thing. It's called broadbandmap.gov, and we will list that, by the way, on our homepage. Now, we were able to get in touch with one of the folks who wrote into us this week, and we have him with us in our program right now. And that's Roland. Roland, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Roland.
It's actually Roland.
Hey, Roland, how you doing, sir?
Just fine.
I got the name right now. Okay, Roland, you sent us a question about a problem you have whenever you start up your computer. You get a pop-up box with a program that's trying to install itself, and it's pretty nasty persistent.
Can you provide us any more details on that? Because I believe I responded to you, and because I wasn't, you know, sometimes emails don't come across properly, where you may or may not provide enough information. Can you describe what's happening?
Okay, the box pops up and it tries to load a program, and it says it can't do it because it needs to be a CD has to be installed to get the program.
Right.
But I don't have the CD that has the program. I even tried some way. Local disk, just maybe it's something I missed somewhere along the line.
Yeah, is there anything in the box itself that might give you a hint? Does it just...
What is the program?
Well, yeah, does it provide the program name or does it provide the file name?
Has it, the name is Status, S-T-A-T-U-S. Mm. And then it asked me to find the spot to load it from.
Okay, sometimes those dialog boxes, when they pop up, provide you the ability to browse. And if they let you browse, sometimes when you hit the browse or explore, you know, I'd have to see the dialog box to be for sure, but they give you the option. And when you hit that box, it'll provide you a file name that it's looking for. Sometimes it's something like MSI, something like Microsoft.MSI or Microsoft or setup.MSI.
It does do that. The name's status.MSI.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Oh, that's right. You did include that in the email.
Yeah.
And that's what one of the things you could do is, well, I see, I'm not sure what's...
My concern is this, Roland, pardon me, that you said that this thing, even though you say cancel, keeps coming back and back and back, right?
Right. Yes.
Now, that activity to me says, that is very suspicious. And I'm going to guess that what you've got there is a virus that is trying to install itself in your computer.
Well, not necessarily. So... Well, a lot of times when you have a program that starts up, every time your computer does, if it's damaged, it will then say that this program's damaged, we need to reinstall it. Mm-hmm. And this is particularly true. I just did a quick test, and Roland, I'm sorry I didn't think of this before because you did provide the file name. Hewlett-Packard provides has a program called Status, and they actually have a file name called status.msi. Oh. So if you have a printer that is a HP printer, and
yes.
And if the printer is somehow the printer software on your computer has become damaged, you may need to reload that printer software because HP the status monitor, and particularly the inkjet or the thing that monitors the inkjet.
Oh, that's
software,
the status.
It might need to be reinstalled. So have you got the printer software that originally shipped with your HP printer?
Yeah, I can get it. I don't have it available right now, but I can certainly...
You know, that
could
might
also
be
maybe find it online going to HP, right?
Exactly, yeah. You could download...
That's a good clue, because I didn't know it was an HP product.
I didn't think of it until talking with you. Sometimes just talking to people just brings up home... you know, opens up whole new avenues of conversation and thought processes that when I read the email, I'm like, oh, man. And I was going the same way Foster was. This is malicious software.
Boy, I'm glad you said that, Ed. You know, I just Googled here, too, status.msi download, and I got some interesting answers there, like how to repair Windows Installer, status MSI, Windows XP. Mm. What operating system do you have, by the way?
Pardon?
What operating system are you using, Roland?
XP.
XP. Well, this is an article that's right there. It says, how to repair Windows Installer status.msi Windows XP. This speaks exactly to what you're talking about, and it's from geeks2go.com. Now, the point is that you can Google for those things, and there are some repair solutions out there. Now, I would suggest this, and for you and for other people who are listening, when you find solutions, and Ed, we've talked about this before, check a number of them. Don't get the first one, right, Gary, that you
that's
see.
That's right.
Because it may not be the right one. The other thing, too, is...
My SearchPal, right? And you went and said, oh, how do you uninstall it? Well, you went to mysearchpal.com and went, whoa, no, if they didn't get you with the first time, they're going to get you the second time trying to uninstall it.
So. Then there's another one that says resolving MSI startup errors, and it's from HP support.
Yes.
Ed, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay, so the other thing, and this is... one of the things I believe I wrote to you in your email is you can use a Microsoft utility called MSConfig, MSConfig,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Which will allow you to selectively choose what programs you wish to start up with Windows. And so you select start and run, or you can select the start search and type in MSConfig. CONFIG. And when you press the OK button, it'll bring up a Microsoft hidden utility called Microsoft Configuration, or MS Config. And there has a startup tab at the top. When you select the startup tab, you'll see a list of all these different programs that start up. A lot of them are very good programs, like your Adobe Flash Player, your Java software for web browsing. Both of those are web browsing software, but also your Hewlett Packard Ink monitors and network discovering tools. You know, all sorts of tools. Your antivirus software's in there. So what one of those utilities might be calling up and have a failure, and that's why it's saying, please install the CD that you use to install this program so that we can find the status.msi. And how do you identify which one of those are? Well, we suspect it might be the Hewlett Packard, but one of the things you can do is you can bring up this MS Config utility, and you can you can deselect them all, as an example, make note of them, because, I mean, of which ones, there's, say if there's 15 items, possibly all 15 items are selected. So deselect them all, shut down, reboot your computer. If that status goes away asking for MSI, you know one of those utilities that you deselected is the culprit.
And by the way,
damaged one.
Roland, the thing, you don't worry about deselecting them and then restarting, because the ones you need will start up again. The ones you don't need right away will not. Now, can you hang on just a second?
Oh, yes.
So we can wrap up this conversation with you. We'll be back in just a moment to continue our conversation with Roland, asking about a status.msi file that just bugging the daylights out of him. We'll answer some more questions as well here on the Internet Advisor, hour number two. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you very much for listening to us here on the Internet Advisor on our podcast. And for those of you listening to us over our affiliates, thanks for joining us. Glad to have you with us. Roland has been with us, and we've been talking with him down in Monroe, Michigan, about some problems that he's been having with his computer. Hey, Roland, I'm just curious. What made you decide to post your question?
Well, I've been dealing with this for several weeks, and just trying to figure out an answer. And I haven't come up with a solution. I thought, you guys, I've always listened to you on the radio, and I enjoy listening to you, and figured you might have an answer for me.
I'm delighted that we could talk with you as well this week and help you to see if you can wrangle with this. Okay, so you had a problem of something called status coming up and wanting to be installed, and then you kept on getting an error that says put in the install medium, which meant like a USB or a disk or something like that. We determined that that status is actually a file that's a good one, and it comes from HP.
It may be, and it looks like it probably is
one that comes from HP, the printer company.
Correct.
And that it has to do with the status of your printer. And it might be the inks in it and whatever else it might be. Something got damaged. It got damaged. And it's trying to install itself, and it keeps on fussing at you to do it. Ed, you went through one with going with MS Config. Any thoughts to wrap this up for him?
Yeah, two. Okay. The other thing is that I described how to go into MS Config and deselect all the objects. Now, how do you identify which one of those might be related to the status.msi is you randomly start or you methodically, step by step, start adding those devices backing in and then rebooting your computer and then seeing if and then making note which program you selected, and then the error message comes back. Or
okay,
and I mean, that might take 12 reboots. But here's the cautionary note. If you have a damaged file on your computer, because now you're being prompted to reload this software, you have a Windows XP computer. That hard drive is very old, and it's quite possible the reason why you're being prompted is because you're experiencing disk drive errors now. And your hard drive could be failing. Or the Windows file system could be failing. So the first thing I would do is if you have a means of backing up your data, start backing it up.
Yes. Do you do that, Roland?
I do it online.
Okay, back it up wherever you can. Back up. That's the first thing. And then you can do almost anything you want with your computer.
Right.
Ed, you brought up a very good point. For a lot of our folks out there, I know you folks are using XP, have been. You're using older machines. I've got one, for instance, my wife is using, which was running Windows 8.1 now, but it's been around for a while. And as a matter of fact, I'm thinking of replacing the hard drive in it with a solid state.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good deals out there right now.
Have you ever run a check disk on your computer to check for disk errors?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever used a utility to check your disk drive for errors?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Okay.
So how you do that, and I want to spend a few moments to do this, you go into My Computer, and okay. and you select your C drive. And then you right mouse click on the C drive and you select properties.
Right.
And then once you've selected the properties, you'll have a window that pops up and it'll have a tools tab at the top, general and then tools. You want to select the tools tab. And when you do that, it'll, you know, check your disk drive for errors and you want to select that box to check your disk drive for errors. And when you do, it's going to, and you select the okay button, it's going to say something along the lines, I'm sorry, I can't run. I can't check your disk drive for errors right now because you're currently running Windows. Would you like to schedule that for the next time you reboot your computer? You select yes. And then you, at that point, you select okay. You close that window, reboot your computer. Windows starts will come up and you'll see a black Windows, what looks like a DOS window, and it'll start checking your disk drive for errors. And then hopefully, if it finds any, it'll repair them as well.
Right, exactly.
If you start seeing a lot of errors, or if it takes a really long time, yeah, you might have a failing hard drive.
So an alternative you would have at that point, Roland, would be look for a good deal, and there's some great deals right now going on a computer, period, or on a hard drive. And you might want to go the way I am, which is to look for a solid-state drive. So, Roland, thank you very much for calling us and asking these questions. Hey, and let us know by email how things turn out, okay?
Thanks very much for your help.
All right. Happy holidays to you, Roland. Thanks so much for giving us a call.
And that's a really, Roland said that he contacted us because he had a problem. That's a really good reason to contact us.
Yes, exactly. We love it. And by the way, we took a little time to answer that, a little more time, because there's a number of issues in there.
That's right.
That we touched
and
on.
And hopefully, when we answer a question, it helps a lot of other
that's
people as well.
That's what we try to do. Anything else that struck you this week in our questions that you'd like to grapple with?
Well, we had one person that called that basically said that I have to say that while let me read their email. That was my response. We have a Windows HP Vista computer. The main functions are for email, paying bills, and playing some HP Wild Tangent software. No real heavy work. The HP Wild Tangent games are supposed to be Internet Explorer, which has updated to Internet Explorer 10. Now I can no longer play my games. And so then I replied to her. Basically, they use the computer only for a few things. Yep. But if you recall, Wild Tangent is one of those pieces of software that's pre-installed by manufacturers, mm-hmm. and it's for the enjoyment of the customers, and you get a certain amount of time, but at some point, you have to pay for additional or longer than the I don't know what the introductory offer is.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, too, is they're running Vista, and one of the things the email went on to say is that since she upgraded to Internet Explorer 10, it's telling her that she has to upgrade her drivers, and they're not available in Vista. So an alternative would be to downgrade the Internet Explorer.
And how would she do that?
She would simply uninstall it, I think,
right.
And then it will give her the option of going back and reinstalling the one that works with Vista.
It'll automatically come back up in 9.
I think it'll come back in Windows 9.
Now, 9 is not a great... So I would probably go back to 8.
Yes, I would say if you can go back to Internet Explorer 8.
If you don't want to have 10, then I'd go back to 8. 9 is okay, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of problems with it. And they just skipped it quickly and brought 10 out quickly because of the problems in 9.
Some of the things I think to keep in mind is, folks, a lot of you are hanging on to older software on older machines. I understand why. You know, I do the same thing for as long as we can. However, you do reach a certain point of no return, like with Vista, for instance, right. where as you're moving up with some of the software that comes on, it's going to be gobbling up more space, or it will simply say, we don't have the drivers for this anymore.
And mm-hmm. it's gotten so cheap, you might as well upgrade the hardware as well as the software. Because to go out and buy, you know, say a Windows 7 and spend $100 just to get an operating system, spend $150, get a whole upgrade, right?
Yeah,
get
and you have
hardware and everything.
You have things that are out nowadays. By the way, I live on Social Security, okay? So I don't have boodles of money myself. And making my purchase decisions is very, very careful. I don't have a credit card. And I have to live on the cash that I have. So I understand your situation. And I'm not blithely suggesting that you spend a ton of money. But if you've got a little bit of money put aside, now is a great time mm-hmm. to make that purchase. And you can do things like getting refurbished computers at places, if you're in the Detroit metropolitan area, a refurbished at The computer store on 14 and
Micro Center.
Micro Center.
And I was just looking at some of the deals. They are some incredible astounding deals out there.
Our friend Shane, who has his own little computer shop, you can go to that in Sterling Heights. We have a link on our homepage called Our Favorite Computer Shops right at the bottom. Click on that. You'll find a whole bunch of local computer shops that you folks have recommended. Yeah. Go there.
Some of those we haven't vetted, so we're not recommending.
But the listeners
but
have.
Other people have
recommended and
them.
We put those in. The point is this, that this is a great time of year to take the little money you have and invest it wisely. It may push you into a machine that is like Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, like the one we talked about today. A great deal. HP has put out this 11-inch laptop called the HP Stream 11 for $199.
Amazing.
$200. You have got an incredible machine for email, for surfing the net, and for doing some basic documents.
Yep, and it'll be portable.
And it's portable. It's a great thing. So we're not blithely telling you to spend a lot of money, but this is a great time of year to make the step up into a brand new computer and save yourself a whole lot of grief and really start enjoying your use of the internet. Well, I'm Foster Brown. Gary Baker, thank you for being here.
My pleasure, as
always. Ed Rudell, good having you here in the house.
I love my job.
And the next time around, we'll have the whole crew here with Mr. Cal Carson talking about Apple devices as well. Make sure you check out our homepage at internetadvisor.net for the show notes, which we'll be posting on Sunday night afterwards. And you can also download the podcast anytime you want from that site. Hey, have a great holiday weekend.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.